Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu, and today's show is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. On the day, representatives from Citizen Lab, Google, and Microsoft were in Congress to testify on the dangers posed by commercial surveillance vendors. Microsoft security teams published a report exposing the hacking tools of another company, namely Austrian software maker DSAIRF. The revelation that DSAIRF was a commercial spyware vendor was news for most international audiences, but German media has been under case for at least a year and especially focused on the possible ties the company may have with Russia. Founded in 2016, the company appears to have gone through multiple stages in its six-year history, such as election security, biometrics authentication, and cyber warfare, before deciding to have a go at the commercial surveillance market. Microsoft appears to have been tracking attacks carried out to the company's tools since at least last year, initially grouping this activity under the pseudonym of Knotweed, before OPSEC mistakes allowed it to link some of the attacks to DSAIRF official websites. Now, after a year of digging around, Microsoft says that DSAIRF is the author of powerful malware toolkits like Sub-Zero, Max, and Passlib. Of the three, Sub-Zero is the company's main product, comprising of the actual malware deployed on Windows systems once a target is compromised. Compromise and deployment typically occurs via spear phishing emails, malicious documents, and exploit chains that include at least one Adobe and four Windows 0 days. Once a system is compromised, tools like Max and Passlib are deployed, with Max being a mashup of various open-source Red Team tools, typically available on GitHub, and Passlib being a custom-developed password stealer capable of dumping credentials from a variety of sources, including web browsers, email clients, and other Windows credential managers. According to Microsoft, victims of past attacks include law firms, banks, and consulting firms in countries such as Austria, the United Kingdom, and Panama. In other spyware news, Nikos Androulakis, a member of the EU Parliament and the president of Greece's second-largest opposition party, PASOK, filed a complaint with the country's prosecutor's office of the Supreme Court on Tuesday, claiming that his device had been infected with Predator, a commercial spyware product sold by North Macedonian company Citrox. Androulakis said he discovered the infection in June after he contacted a cybersecurity unit in the European Parliament that was founded earlier this year and which is tasked with checking the devices of EU MPs for commercial spyware products. This marks the unit's first ever positive detection in more than 200 devices it's scanned so far. But this wasn't the only spyware-related revelation that came out of the EU this week. In addition, EU Justice Commissioner Didier Reynders also revealed that he received a notification last year from Apple that his device was compromised with Pegasus, a commercial spyware product sold by Israeli company NSO Group. There were also a couple of cybercrime-related arrests this week. The first comes from Spain, where authorities detained two suspects on charges of hacking the country's radioactivity alert network, also known as RAR. The two suspects, previously employed by Spanish authorities to manage the RAR network, disrupted the activity of more than 300 of Spain's 800 radioactivity detection sensors in a series of attacks that took place between March and June 2021. In addition, almost 100 BEC scammers were also detained in Hungary over the past few months, Europol said. The suspects were specialized in invoice fraud and were detained in two separate operations, Operation Wine Cellar and Operation Theater, carried out in November last year, but whose details were only released this week due to operational reasons. Elsewhere in Africa, a suspected member of the Shiny Hunters hacking group was detained earlier this year at the airport in Rabat, Morocco, while trying to take a flight to Brussels, Belgium. Authorities have identified the suspect as Sébastien Raoult, a 21-year-old French student from the city of Épinal in eastern France. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, the operators of the Lockbit ransomware gang appear to have adopted a new tactic of intentionally leaking the private conversations between their operators and the victims of their attacks as another way of putting pressure on the victim to pay. According to a report from Sequoia released this week, the Lockbit ransomware gang has dominated the ransomware landscape this year and accounted for most publicly disclosed ransomware attacks in 2022. Also in related news, data compiled by ransomware negotiation company Coverware suggests that fewer victims of a ransomware attack have made payments to their attackers in the second quarter of 2022, which has also contributed to the decrease of the average ransom payment over that period by 50% to just over $36,000 per attack. In addition, Coverware also reports that while a year ago only a small number of ransomware variants were capable of encrypting non-Windows-based operating systems, today, almost all major ransomware players have stable Windows, Linux, and VMware ESXi variants. In other cybercrime-related news, researchers from security firm IronNet said this week that they discovered a new phishing-as-a-service platform. Named Robin Banks, this new platform comes with built-in templates for attacking customers of major US banks and various online services such as Google, Microsoft, and Netflix. In other phishing-related news, security firm Trustwave also reported that after several cloud service providers started offering support for the IPFS peer-to-peer protocol, threat actors also started abusing these services to create new types of cleaner phishing URLs. While the technique is currently used by phishing gangs, Trustwave also anticipates that email spammers will also adopt this technique as it allows them to bypass many email security solutions. In news that will interest JavaScript programmers, Kaspersky researchers said they discovered four malicious JavaScript libraries uploaded on the official NPM portal this week. According to the researchers, the NPM packages would download and install Python and JavaScript-based malware on infected systems. The Python malware is a modified version of an open-source token logger called WolfStealer and is intended to steal Discord tokens from infected machines. The JavaScript malware is named LuffyStealer and can infect Discord clients in order to monitor the victim's actions. According to Kaspersky, LuffyStealers can also detect when a user logs in, can change the account email or password, and can enable or disable multi-factor authentication to log victims out of their accounts. In other malware-related news, South Korean security firm Unlab has published details on a malware distribution campaign that installs proxyware applications on victims' devices to use their systems as proxies and pay for traffic proxy networks like Peer2Profit and IPRoyal. Among victims observed by Unlab, MS SQL databases also appear to have been infected. In APT and cyber espionage rules, German officials appear to have secretly issued an arrest warrant last year for a Russian FSB officer for his role in orchestrating cyber attacks against German critical sector operators, including power grid company EnBW, in the summer of 2017. Reports in German media identify the suspect as Pavel A., and he appears to be Pavel Alexandrovich Akulov, also indicted in the US earlier this year as a member of the Bezerber APT, for his attacks against US critical infrastructure operators. Also in APT news, cybersecurity firm Volexity said in a report on Thursday that a North Korean threat actor, it is striking as Sharp Tongue, has been using malicious browser extensions as a way to steal emails from a victim's browser as they read through their webmail. Volexity said the threat actor has been using this technique since September 2021, and it may be connected to the activity of other North Korean APTs like Kim Suki and Baby Shark. Victims of past Sharp Tongue attacks include individuals in organizations in the US, Europe, and South Korea who work on topics involving North Korea, nuclear issues, and weapon systems. In vulnerability-related news, security firm Cisco Talos said it found four vulnerabilities in open-source router firmware packages and drone programming tools. The company said the root cause of all four issues was a piece of code that all projects had taken from an open-source library owned by Broadcom. In tech and privacy-related news, France's data protection watchdog said this week that it was closing its Facebook investigation after the company added a button to its cookie pop-up that will allow users to refuse non-essential cookies. The agency previously fined Facebook 60 million euros earlier this year after the company, at the time, was requiring users to go through multiple steps to use only essential cookies and block the use of optional tracking ones. And last but not least, Manners, an industry security group specializing in BGP routing security, said that Rostelecom appears to have hijacked Apple traffic. According to the organization, the incident took place earlier this week and lasted 12 hours before Apple engineers stepped in to mitigate the issues from their side. This concludes the news portion of our podcast. In our sponsor section, Airlock Digital co-founder Daniel Schell will discuss a recent Proofpoint report on the downfall of macro-based malware delivery and the rise of container file payloads.
Yeah, so last week, Proofpoint published some research showing a significant change in how threat actors are doing phishing campaigns, really shifting away from macro campaigns with VBA or XLR4 to using link files or container formats such as ISO and RAR files, which often end up with an execution chain executing a DLL file. It could be possible to suggest that this change in attacker behavior would be thanks to Microsoft preventing the execution of macros with documents marked with Mark of the Web, but this change really didn't start getting pushed by Microsoft until the July current channel updates, which are outside the dates of this research. It's much more likely that attackers have just found the link or ISO methods to be a more effective method of delivery as they avoid macro controls, Mark of the Web coverage, and a lot of endpoint security solutions. Microsoft has started expanding the Mark of the Web coverage for container formats in Windows 11 Insider builds with Smart App Control, but there's still a pretty long runway before these hardening improvements will filter down.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.